not drinking tonight, so.
Hey. Same
here. It should be a somber chat.
Yeah.
Did you guys do this the last 2 weeks? Because I never got the call or anything.
No, we didn't do it last week. I was waiting for the tone.
I can't get enough people in a fucking awkward position.
Jeez, I should move down south.
Yeah, I prefer the northern way.
Hello.
Hello.
Oh, in store. Keep on. In store. Keep on.
Mike, would you say something?
Hello.
Frederick. Boy, you are way quieter than Brian.
Can anybody hear me?
Hello.
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 Can anybody hear me?
Fredericks, we can't hear Fredericks now.
That's what I was afraid of. Oh.
Do something with his mic.
Oh, you're right, Mike.
Hey, Mike.
I can hear you.
I'll be here shortly.
All right.
This fall beforehand, so that's what's happening now.
Ah.
I got it.
He does that on a little earlier.
Fredericks, you can do it.
Hey, Peter, is that Petey? Peter?
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, there you are.
Yeah, Mike was absolutely right. I have to go to my system preferences. Oh, thanks, Mike. Hey, you're sounding nice and clear now, too.
You sound pretty good, yeah.
All right. And Cormod. Oh. Hey, Cormod. All right. Cool. And Stanley.
Sorry,
Oh, hey, Frederick.
He's driving.
I'm not going to cry.
Still haven't figured it out. Somebody brought in a ShopRite bag. Because, I mean, it was literally so crowded in the bar. I didn't see who was coming in the back part of the bar. Somebody brought in a ShopRite bag, and they kind of left it on the floor. And then when there was a break in the action, I went over to pick it up, and I could feel there was something in it. I'm like, what is this, you know? I thought maybe somebody left something behind, and then I open it up, and it's dog shit.
Oh, God.
Somebody brought some dog shit and left it at the bar, so I'm like, what? Who the hell would do that, you know? Was that supposed to be funny? I don't know.
It kind of is funny.
I'm still puzzled. I'm like, you know, did they find it on the street? Was it really their dog shit and they left it? We tried to determine who had a dog. Nobody really had a dog that was in there. So it was still a bit of a mystery.
I bet it was some sort of prank.
Maybe it's these loyal followers of the guy I replaced who had a stroke.
Maybe they were just cleaning up on their way to the bar. They got there. They had a couple drinks. They got to dancing. They put down their bag.
Forgot
it. They meant to dispose of it properly. It's not you, Mike.
You have too much faith in humanity.
They were saving it later and forgot.
I'm just going to bring this shit into a public place where everybody, you know, could smell it, you know, and, you know, nobody will have a problem with
that.
They
didn't light it on fire or anything and expect the bartender to stomp it out.
Well, yeah.
Nah, you need paper bags for that.
Oh. So you didn't get in trouble for having the lights on?
Lights on where?
At work.
Turn the lights off, yeah.
The last one.
I'm closing up regularly now.
All right.
Well, my manager is not, we're not like good match personality-wise.
This was my prayer. Dear Jesus, if you do me this solid and fell this wretch with a mild stroke, I will be your number one fan and a lifelong supporter.
She's just this very humorless person. And she's just crazy. Oh, exactly. It's just too much, you know? You can see every email. This is some sort of crisis. I threw out a line to her, like, jokingly today.
Doesn't hurt to be friendly.
See if it would get a response. And,
yeah, what you...
Well, I said something to her like, oh, yeah, I was afraid you were going to bite my head off for some minor infraction or something like that.
Like, if she'd at least smile or something?
Well, no, she didn't smile. I never expect a smile from her, you know?
Okay.
But,
how do those people like that get through life, you know? They just be, like, so humorless, you know?
It's, I don't know, they're out there. And
they sure are, yeah. They encounter my shoe, too.
And they seem well-suited for the type of work that this involves, you know? it's always kind of attracted an anal personality, you know, because you're fussing with sentences and stuff like that. And, you know, I never really felt like I was one of those people, but there's a lot of them in publishing.
Well, an anal retentive. There are also anal expulsives, just as a Freudian. I'd like to point that out.
And the weird thing is, I'm getting a little more paranoid.
I could say I have had a similar experience.
The thing is, to my manager, and basically leaving me alone in the office. And as my manager was leaving yesterday, she said, "Don't talk." Don't. The thing is, I don't. You know, I think she's knowledgeable, and that really makes me uncomfortable. You know. Here I am, you know, it's paranoid, and that really makes me uncomfortable. There's no way around it. So, I don't know. It's just, I got to deal with it. Poor me.
Yeah, I'm on my way. I'm getting drunk.
Sorry about that.
A little progress we've had there. Frederick, I have a question.
No. I went to Opryland.
I was here for that part.
Yeah. And that just was junk. That was like a poor man's, poor man's.
It was beautiful. I mean, they had all kinds of beautiful flowers in there and stuff.
Well, that's
it smelled great and great, you know, like glass work and the structure of the roof because it was open. And so it was like being in a little rainforest, but, you know, with the fake river boat. And it was just shops. There was no culture there. To speak
country.
And you go in the bookstore and it's all books about country music. I mean,
country,
there was nothing
country,
else.
Country.
Wait, buy a nudie suit in Nashville. That went out when that dude died.
Oh, could you? Yeah, probably.
Could you? Would one? Could
anybody.
One?
I thought you wanted to know if I got one. I was like, no, heavens.
No, he has plenty of them. He needs to buy one.
I bet that would cost a fortune to get one of those. Well,
it would be like $4,000 or $5,000 easy.
Yeah.
Not in Hong Kong.
Because they work for a dollar a week.
That's true. Yeah, they used to have, my brother-in-law would have his suits made. Would go to have, like, his measurements taken, and then they'd send him the stuff, and it would be super cheap, yeah.
Oh, yeah, they go to Hong Kong, get suits made, and then go to Bangkok for children. Yeah, that's great.
Come on. They weren't doing anything that easy.
I was surprised Amadeo didn't make it onto the new schedule, huh?
Yeah, I saw that he was doing it on Twitter. He said that this one was his last show, yeah.
Wow.
I did listen to some of that Dave Hill. Mike.
Is Brett his call screener now?
That's what you said.
Well, I thought he was. I wasn't sure. I haven't really listened to the show.
Well, somebody had said Larry the Perv called in.
Yeah.
And asked for Tom.
Oh.
Kept calling him Tom or something like that. And then Dave just pretended he couldn't hear him and hung up rather than playing along with him. But then I just was flipping through and they were talking about freaks and circuses and things. And I don't know who his guest was. Well, what would be a freak today? And they said, that would be a guy without any tattoos who abhors social media.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's good.
Who said that? I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah. To keep bringing it back to Marshall McLuhan. Hot and cool thing.
Yes.
You know, he says books are hot. All right. I can understand that. You know, you're more directly involved, you know.
Yes, and it uses only a single sense.
Yeah, but why? Here's my question.
Okay.
Why does he give preference? You know, he says radio is hot. Mm-hmm. But television is cool.
Mm-hmm.
And painting is cool.
Mm-hmm.
Why is the visual sense inferior to the hearing sense?
Hot and cool are not, that's not like a gradation of better or worse. They're simply different from each other.
Oh, I got the impression that he's giving preference to the hot.
Oh, see, I if you asked me, I would have thought that he preferred the cool.
Really?
Yeah.
No, he said football is cool because it's better on television than on radio. And he says baseball and radio on radio.
Right, you are correct.
Okay. Now, when he says hot and cool media, I think the first thing to understand is he's being playful and he's being comparative. We don't want to think of any given medium as either hot or cool, just absolutely. Either that's not going to be that effective, especially not if you really want to understand the text. You need to understand it comparatively. And so any medium, you can sort of say, is that hotter than or cooler than another medium? And a given culture, you know, a given culture can be hotted up or cooled down by a given medium, and then when a new medium enters, we want to assess whether the hot or cool medium is entering a society that's already been heated up or hotted up or cooled down by a prior media. For McLuhan, you want to make a distinction, okay? So a hot medium...
Right, that's what I'm saying, but why is it saying the hot medium?
Is a medium that employs a single sense in high definition with a full amount of data, fully saturated data in that one sensory modality, and it's best suited to completed packages.
Better.
So how is painting a cool medium if you're...
Now, a cool medium employs multiple senses. It is incomplete. It has insufficient data. It's oftentimes loose and needs to be completed. It doesn't have a completed package. And the sparsity of data itself becomes part of what makes for involvement with...
Well, with painting, though, is that's not like a photograph. You know, like a high-definition photograph would be hot. Whereas a painting, which is created, it requires more work from the viewer, from the person that's consuming it.
Are out in a specialized way of fragmented, interlocking nature, which is very different than a kind of organicism that preceded it in the oral world, and then the new organicism that's entering in by way of electricity.
But he said understanding is not approval.
I don't feel that way.
All right, well, then let's move on then to laws of nature. Not really being laws at all.
Okay.
Except for the one about the rocket car not going over the Snake River Canyon. That's been proven. Do go on.
It's a habit of nature. They can change. The whole concept of laws comes from our Western European.
At least he didn't say our Western Europeanness. I appreciate that.
And so it would be more accurate to say that they are the habits of nature. Nature generally will do this when you do this, but that doesn't mean it'll always be that way. Law of gravity could change and smash, so it's good that we have weak forces. Some people want to know where the rest of the gravity comes from.
Why?
That's shocking.
I don't get it.
No, don't worry.
It was like math or something.
This.
That's a word problem with something missing.
Yeah. Now I'm going to give you the trolley problem again.
No.
So, and then I heard that there was, that they have boxes of stuff they've taken out of people's butts.
And you saw it, and now you're giggling about it. You don't have my dilemma. Congratulations.
I don't know. I don't.
Wait, what was that? Where
seems to be a personal obsession of Frederick.
Where are you getting those
for you? My mother, my aunt.
And that there was
emergency room.
That there was
one of her favorite stories was the woman who came in with a hairbrush stuffed up her ass.
And then you saw it, and now you're giggling about it. You don't have my dilemma. Congratulations.
But it's probably more common than we...
No, that's what my buddy told me when I told him that about the light bulb. He was like, oh, yeah, that happens all the time. He works at the VA. And they have boxes. And supposedly in one of the TV shows, like House or one of them, one of the, or Nurse Jackie, I don't know, something like that. But one of the new characters opened up the box and said, "Oh, look, a gift box. You know, do I get to take a prize?"
But yeah, it's true. A friend of mine's a doctor, and he worked in the ER for a while, and it's a regular occurrence, several times a week. You know,
my aunt's story was an older woman, and she claimed that she was constipated, and she was trying to which is, you know, that's feasible.
So what was it?
It was a hairbrush.
Oh.
It can't be pretty either way. It was a painful extraction, no doubt, you know.
Yeah, it got wedged.
My dilemma.
We went right back around to that.
Giggling about it. So.
It wasn't just passed off as a grooming accident?
Putting way too much thought into this.
We should end it on that. Anybody ever read... it looks like an interesting website. Clusterfuck Nation?
No, I've never visited that one.
Yeah, it looks pretty good.
Clusterfuck Nation.
Well, the writer's name was James Howard Kunstler.
Okay.
So he's got the archive. I mean, you'll find him under, if you look up Clusterfuck Nation, but it's just about our culture in general going downhill.
Oh.
It isn't Kunstler with a K, is it?
Yeah, it's K. It's his name.
Like,
yeah.
Like William Kunstler. The
yeah,
famous
I don't
attorney?
Think there's any. I don't think there's any relation.
Okay.
Kunstler.
And what's on this website? Articles or?
Yeah, I mean, it's a blog. He's talking about what's wrong with the country and all that. He does have some interesting things to say.
What does he think is wrong with the country?
I mean, there's lots of things wrong with the country. He talks about. He wrote a book called The Geography of Nowhere. Just about, how bad our, highways and strip malls and, I guess, he's got one little section called Eyesore of the Month. And I guess he just goes out and takes pictures of, horrible shit on his landscape, Kmarts and stuff like that.
Well, it is true. They don't even try to make the places at all artistic or architecturally pleasing.
Yeah.
It's all about efficiency and functionality.
Yeah. I went to three CVSs recently, and the layout for all three of them was exactly the same. It was kind of insane. Because generally, when you go into like a McDonald's or a Wendy's, generally it's always a little different.
Different enough that it's confusing every time I go into a different one.
These places just had the exact same layout.
They're all...
That's the experience I have in CVS is they're cute.
They're all different around here. Yeah.
Oh.
I just want my goddamn athlete's foot cream. Get the hell out of my way.
Yeah, I mean...
It doesn't help.
I've never had need for that in my entire life.
Really? You're fortunate.
Yeah.
It doesn't help.
I usually get it when I'm out camping. Get it from the hippies in the showers.
Yeah, don't shower with hippies, kids.
And athletes.
That's right.
Hey, hacky sack, that's going to make it to the Olympics. You watch. That and frisbee, or disc, as they call it. It'll happen.
Yeah, I can see that.
Really? That's just bullshit.
they removed a sport from the Olympics recently.
Hacky sack?
No, it was an hacky sack.
Oh, good. They're still doing that, then.
No, they took out wrestling.
Yeah,
that was kind of a big deal.
Probably because it was too erotic.
Well, I mean, it wasn't like original wrestling at the Olympics where they were all naked and stuff,
It's still just guys rolling around, right?
Trying to get them in the right position.
So why did they remove it from the Olympics?
I wonder if it had anything to do with
Vladimir Putin.
It was in women's wrestling a few years ago, and I saw this on TMZ, which is Frederick's favorite media outlet, where this one woman had the other one
Frederick's has heard of.
And she had her thumb, like, literally pushing well into the leotard thing. Her thumb was up this woman's ass.
I've seen that.
And that's a thing.
Yeah,
check his oil.
Check his oil.
Yeah, check his oil. Check his oil.
I've seen that in junior high. I was at a wrestling match and someone did that, and I thought that was insane.
Wow.
I have to tell my nephew.
Check his oil.
Because he beat a kid up and now he's pursuing from wrestling.
Does that count as a hold?
Check his oil. I think just sort of unnerves your opponent. And if it doesn't, well, then you're fucked. Because, you know, where do you go from there?
As I recall, certain holds would get you points, and if you could...
No.
You know, get 3 points down out of 4 or something, you know, without pinning them, they could still...
Bruno Sammartino fighting Andre the Giant.
I've seen that.
Oh, I think you had to pay to go see it. You know, that was back in the closed circuit era. It was like...
These sweaty assholes.
Yeah, check his oil.
You know, it's almost like the Zapruder film, you know? It was just... everybody, you know, has seen that thing, you know?
And you saw it, and now you're...
And the slow motion, you know, when he's... Where he falls in Las Vegas.
Giggling.
It was like... you know, it's almost like the Zapruder film, you know? It was just... So, yeah, it all worked out for him, you know?
I'm looking at this... Is this Snake...
You know, a carnival guy, you know, like a circus performer or, you know, those type of people.
So he hired boxing, boxing promoter Bob Abrams Company Top Rank Productions to put the event on closed circuit television. Yeah, Mike, and broadcast to movie theaters. Investors in the event took a substantial loss, including promoter Don E. Branker, who I'm unfamiliar with, as well as Vince McMahon Jr. declared personal bankruptcy a few weeks later before taking over and expanding his father's World Wrestling Federation. So it's not all that surprising that young Vince McMahon was involved in this.
Frederick was in Nashville, which I'm anxious to hear about.
I was in Nashville.
Was that the first time you were there?
It was the first time I went downtown to Evil and Dick together, I'm sure.
I'm sure they had a...
All right, let me see what's out there.
Well, forget all this Watergate and Vietnam talk. Look at this man. He's going to jump over a canyon all by himself.
He went to jail for 6 months for assaulting someone.
His wife, I think.
No, this was some guy who, I don't know if that's a man or a woman, he assaulted him or her because he or she wrote a book about unflattering. Evil.
Oh, okay. Dr. Dre style.
Evil. Alleging, the book alleges that he abused his wife and kids and he used drugs.
Drugs? Well, I didn't think those were going to come in either.
That's what I heard.
Well, he apparently would give anti-drug speeches.
Oh, there. Okay. All right. So he didn't want that to be out.
Yeah, him and Richard Nixon together used to do that.
Yeah.
The problem is, this seems like the height of his fame happened during the Ford administration. So there doesn't seem to be a picture. And come to think of it, I think if there was a picture of an evil Nixon, it would have been on like punk rock 45 covers in the 80s or something.
And because he assaulted this person, he lost his endorsement deal with Ideal Toys. I guess there was a toy line.
Well, that's when they stopped making the thing. It was like a little...
Richard Nixon.
And you put it on the stand and you cranked it up and then it broke. No.
Yeah.
There were TV commercials and Nixon. They were indestructible on TV. You know.
I've never heard of that. I mean, is that... That's...
They invented the teddy bear.
That was Theodore Roosevelt.
Oh, wait.
Well, that sounds like it ran its course. Mike can tell us if it gets more pathetic.
What?
Basically, it's your confession and nothing.
What'd you think?
Hey, Fredericks.
What?
You want to do movie talk real quick?
Sure!
The other day, I wanted to see the super talented frogs, you know, like a...
Certifiably crazy.
And the father was like, nah. He's like, it was Casper. And it was just so loaded the way he said that. It was so, like, awful. But it
seemed the thing to do at the time.
Yeah. A great moment in the film. You know, you're just like.
Yeah, oh. You know, the director's been on the best show, right? Jeff Furtzig.
Yeah, because he did that thing, that great thing that I saw with the. As Tom put it, that guy who stood on Muhammad Ali's foot that time. What's that guy's name, Mike?
Chuck Lepner.
Yeah, Lepner, yeah.
Chuck Lepner.
I hated the documentary, and I kind of, it made me hate in the Beatles. It made me really not like Beatles.
Was that Congo Powers?
No,
And can we, AP Mike, can I ask you a movie related question?
All right.
Not into it. We can do it another day if you want.
No. It's I'm ready. All right. Yeah.
Where do you land on the career of Jean-Luc Godard?
I don't know. I mean, I haven't really enjoyed a lot of his movies. I like Weekend.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that's my favorite.
Yeah. I watched that one again recently, and the first half of it was freaking incredible. It lost a little steam toward the end, but the first half of it was wonderful.
Yeah.
Is this easily... Can you easily find this on the...
I'll Google it. Because Frederick's, I think, is out of the tent.
Oh, it's...
So, yeah. Wow.
Let's see here. Or it used to be a big place. See, I forget the place.
Dollywood. Oh, Jesus. Ooh, here, let me... Is Dollywood in close proximity?
I've seen it, yeah, from a distance.
I was like, wow, that place looks like such a shithole. So, it's a massive thing.
Not all, foremost.
Yeah.
Himself to death.
Super talented, though, like, you know?
I thought it was amazing that the guy who does the Indianapolis speech in Jaws, what's his name? That actor.
Robert Shaw.
Yeah, he was only like 45 when he died. And he looks like he's in his 60s in that movie. I guess.
Yeah, that's true. He's 51 when he died.
Yes. So he. I guess that's not too.
Not as dramatic, but still.
Sending yourself to death does a hell of a job on your body.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How does one drink oneself to death? God, this is an evergreen on the Skype chat, I think. Like,
determination.
A lot. Yeah,
determination, and you don't eat.
Ask Bonzo.
Oh, okay.
Another Mass's regular bit to dust.
Well, just like, did you kill him?
No, she wasn't coming into Mass's too often in her later period.
Oh, okay.
But
when you become an alcoholic, I imagine you spend... What were you saying?
Well, can Mike finish his story now?
Yes, he can. I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Mike.
Now, this woman used to come around. She was down and out. She was hanging out with Joe Puppy. Joe's thing is to like try and help the down and out by getting them to do some house chores for him. That's how he's being a good guy, you know. He lets them weed his yard in 100 degree heat, and he'll give them a few beers. That's his goodwill gesture. So she fell under his spell for a while, and she was living there and basically, you know, drinking his beer when he wasn't looking, and ultimately she found another place to crash. But I'd see her around, and then, she was not a pleasant person to be around. She was just, like, very, you know, well, she was not like a good drunk, you know. She was just like she'd sort of mope around, and then like she'd try and talk to you, but she would mumble, and you know, most of the bars are loud, so you could never hear what the hell she was saying whenever she tried to talk to you. And it was always awkward because she'd sit next to you, try and talk to you, and I would just, most times I'm just nodding my head, oh yeah, okay, because I can't hear a word she's saying.
How old, roughly, so I could get a better mental picture?
She was, I don't know if she made it to 40s.
Oh,
oh wow.
Yeah, she was young. She was young, you know. She set out on her course, and she her eyes were turning yellow, you know. She had cirrhosis, you know, so she was, you know. She had warning signs. She had warning signs. It wasn't like a surprise. And she would get, her stomach would swell. You know, she'd get bloated.
Ugh.
Yeah, it was not pleasant.
So yeah, that's exactly what I was gonna say. It's a very unpleasant way to die. Oh, jeez.
But you know, people are doing it out there.
How is it that some people like? Because I part of the reason I'm asking is like I mentioned before that down the road from me, or you know, you're down around the corner from me, I should say, there's like a bar that to me seems like it would be very similar to your bar, Mike, you know, and like it's amazing to me how like I could see people go in and out of that place. Like I lived in this neighborhood I live in now, like I lived here like literally a decade ago, so like I see some of the, like the regular neighborhood rummies going in and out of that bar, and I'm like, holy shit, how's that old timer? Like, how is he not, like, dead from just drinking, like, all day, every day? Like, it's amazing that some people...
It's different, you know? I mean, Puppy drinks, like, I would say, maybe... well, he cut out the hard liquor. He used to drink vodka continuously all day. He finally stopped doing that. Now he just drinks beer. And he'll drink, I would say, he's drinking from, like, 11:30 in the morning until, you know, 6:30. So a good, you know, 6.5-7 hours of just drinking beer. And so by the time he gets home, he's pretty drunk. He passes out. He doesn't eat. You know, he very rarely eats. That's why he's like skin and bones, you know. He's a skinny guy.
How old is he now? 70?
I think he's like in his mid-60s.
Oh.
65, I think, 66 in there.
Is he a good tipper?
No, he's a lousy tipper. Like $3 is his, you know, his limit. Although, you know, for whatever reason, he's my friend again now.
Uh-oh.
And you know, he hasn't yelled at me recently, so
his his charms are winning you over again.
So he's friends again. And he did leave me a $5. That's his top.
Wow.
Top tip.
And he gets his money from where? Like just like the.
He's got pensions. He's got. I guess the veterans. If you're a veteran, you get something too, right?
Sure, yeah. Right. Well, I would hope, but I can't.
He's got a few things. He's got like a couple pensions and his the veterans thing and Social Security. Mm-hmm. You know, he's got a couple sources, but I mean, he's month to month. You know, I mean, that's why. When Sandy happened, it kind of set him back because he had to, you know, put everything on credit and, you know, he sort of fell behind. But I don't know where he is now financially. But, you know, he's always sort of just month to month he's getting by. You know, he knows how much he's got allocated for drinking, how much for food and so on. But my biggest tip I got this week, there's another bartender who works up against me, and that's where all the masses people go to his bar, because you know he's a Bayonne guy, you know, and so everybody goes to see him and he only works one day a week. He works on Saturday afternoons when I'm working, so that's why my Saturday afternoons are dead. But he comes in on Sunday, and he just starts buying, and he left me a $21 tip this week.
Whoa!
Wow. Yeah.
No, he's a good guy. I'm gonna have to. I think eventually I might give up Saturdays, and just stick with one day a week. It is you know, 7 days going, 7 days a week. It kind of gets a little tedious. You know, you need a little sort of downtime.
Yeah, to recharge.
Not that like things are so, you know, tense at masses, but you know, just to have time to do the stuff I got to do. You know.
But you are working. You kept your job. That's a very good.
Yeah, no, I'm, you know, I'm doing both now. I'm doing the masses on the weekend and the other job.
But Saturdays are just so quiet that it's not.
Well, yeah, they're relatively quiet, you know, and during the summer it gets even quieter, you know. People are out, you know, they don't want to spend a day in a bar on a beautiful summer day.
Was Joe Puppy in a YouTube video that I saw where you were putting on these do-rags? Do you recall that?
Yeah. Joe Puppy wasn't privy to that, but I'm sure he would have been happy to don the do-rag.
And he probably would have said thug, too. Who was that guy?
Yeah, he would have put it on blackface.
You're thinking of Ziggy. That's Ziggy.
I don't know who it was.
It was Ziggy, the musician.
He kind of has a face that's memorable, sort of.
Yeah, he's got like an old-timey face. Is that what you mean?
I guess. Something about it.
Yeah, he's got like a...
I was struck by it.
Old-timey type of look. He's a good guy. Some people don't like him.
You gave him some positive strokes.
Yeah, no, I mean, he's been playing music like since 20s or early or late teens. I mean, it's pictures of him and these other guys that go all the way back, you know? And, you know, they never made it big or anything. They made a single. I think they had a single out that they tried to promote and... They went to some radio stations. It was like in the early 80s, you know, that they, you know, put the record out and tried to, you know, sort of catch a ride on the new wave. it was during that period. And, you know, I like their music, you know. It's okay. It's good. And they're talented. They know how to play and sing. But, you know, they never really made it big, you know, like a lot of musicians. But they're still doing it. I give them credit for that. They didn't just like wrap it up and say that's call it a day.
Is that the Knobs?
Yeah, the Knobs. Yeah.
Okay. And you played one of their songs on Depravity's Rainbow.
Yeah, I think I played one or two. Yeah.
I'm in love with a nun.
Yeah, the nun. Yeah, I thought that was a good one.
Well, I remember the title.
And I think I played a song that I didn't realize until we played it that it's got the word fuck in it. But it's like real fast, so you don't really notice it the first time. I think I pulled one off on FMU. I got a fuck across in one of the songs.
Dodge the FCC. I do sort of remember that. It got mentioned in the chat.
Well, I apologize for assuming that he was a masses patron.
He plays at masses. He's a masses guy, and I put up videos of them playing there at masses. It's in the the Masses Tavern channel there. You can see him playing with the other guys. Jimmy Christie is the two of them will play at masses. Talented guys. Jimmy Christie in particular. I mean, he's a really good guitar player. Actually, I think he's a better singer than Ziggy. Ziggy's a little over the top with his emoting. You know, he's one of those over singers. He kind of lays it on a bit thick sometimes.
Yes.
But Jimmy Christie's a really good singer, really good guitar player. So, talented guy. Apparently a big pothead, so he's got that going.
All the best people are.
Is that good or bad? The way Mike said it, I couldn't really tell.
He's got some sort of thing. I mean, I don't think he's worked in a long time. You know, I mean, they're just a little older than me. They're like in their late 50s, these guys. And Jimmy, like a lot of people in Bayonne, I mean, I know I'm hanging out and meeting these people in bars, and that says something in itself, but a lot of people in Bayonne have like these disability things going. And, you know, I mean,
like
I'm
the
not...
wonderful wild whites of West Virginia.
They were all on disability?
Yeah, that's how they did it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's how else could they keep up that,
I know, forgot that
lifestyle?
I forgot.
You need to figure out what your disability is. Like.
Well, no, it seems like everybody in Bayonne is trying to figure it out, you know? I mean, I know two other guys who are, like, going through the process. I think one guy finally just did get his 100% disability. He's got some sort of thing with his arms or something. But that doesn't keep him out of the bar, is he lifting beers?
It's kind of funny. When I was, like, really unemployed a while back and unemployment was running out, somebody said to me, and I kid you not, it's a shame you don't have a disability.
Right, yeah.
And this person had one, and I thought, like, wow, that's incredibly fucked up.
All right, night, Mike.
Night, Mike.
Have a good day tomorrow. Smile at that lady real nice.